Good Thursday. Today is June the 19th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, weed management has become an increasing challenge with herbicide resistance and some of the newer weeds to move in, including things like water hemp. We're going to take some time this morning to visit with Chad Threewitz from Syngenta to lay out some management strategies. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Chad Threewitz with Syngenta. Chad, a lot of challenges with weeds in fields the last several years, and it seems like every year we get another herbicide-resistant weed that just rears its ugly head. I know on my farm last year, it was water hemp that I guess you would say finally showed up, unfortunately finally showed up, and it's a real booger to control. The folks that have it infested really know that there's not a real easy solution once you've got it and it spreads. Give us some thoughts, I guess, on just weed scouting and weed management in general.
Yeah, what you just said there was very true with many growers and fields I've been in across the state. The water hemp has just continued to drive what we do differently. It continues to be harder to manage. And you said it right there. I think we've got populations in Illinois that are 7 way resistance to herbicides. And if you do the math, we don't have 7 different modes of actions really to control a lot of this different, you know, our tools are getting smaller in the toolbox, right? So it really does take a whole system approach. And I think this is a great time of year to look at what we've got out there in the fields managing. It's truly seed bank. You know, if you can manage that seed bank and trying to control that, you know, whether it's in corn now going to soybeans or vice versa, that's where we've seen success. If you can manage that seed bank and keep it down, and then you can do that a couple different ways. That's, you know, the stronger residual products. We've seen something like Tendovo herbicide is a newer product here we've had in soybeans that we're getting more active ingredient on the front side in our residual treatments. It gives us a bigger window, and it's also pretty safe on soybeans too. So you want to maximize yield off, obviously, right? If we can start increasing rates with certain some of these other herbicides, but as you do, it can kind of be a little tough on soybeans as well. So that's one nice thing we've done there, and it's really coming from that increased rate that we have in that product. But coming back with overlapping residuals, so you know, put a strong residual down, come back with another residual then at post spraying. The days of driving down with the pickup truck down the road and rolling the window down and looking for, you know, are the weeds big enough yet to come spray? Those days are over, right? With water hemp, once you can do that, it's probably too late. So yeah. It's one that I think as we go further on and have more issues, the more residual products we can use, the more traits we can use utilizing the you know, Enlist or Liberty or those treated soybeans are definitely giving us some, you know, still advantages that we have some tools that we can manage at post as long as we can keep stuff in size.
I appreciate you mentioned too, maybe a second residual, because unfortunately we know with water hemp, it's a later emerging weed in the season than a lot of them. So when we go out to get that first round, it may not be up yet and we might miss it.
Yeah, and that's been the unique challenge with water hemp. But last year I had water hemp showing up and it was warm early, mid-April. And it emerged from mid-April all the way through harvest.
Wow.
This year, I would say, is more of a normal year where we started to see stuff emerging in May. And you know, areas that got out early, we've had herbicides on the ground for 60 days already.
Yeah.
And we're just now going to make our post trip because we got rained out and couldn't get back in. So that's the value of what that residual product does. So it's really there 2 years in a row. We've had two opposite years, and both of those really hard to manage. So as we get late rainfall, let's say we stay wet here, water hemp's going to take off, and it loves heat and moisture. So just like the crop does. And then, as you know, it gets much harder to control the later we get in the season, and there's not a lot we can do about it then.
Sure does. Well, as you said, try and start clean and then keep it clean. A good solution there, and making sure that we go after it with a full list of products. Again, my guest today is Chad Threewitz. He is with Syngenta. We're talking about some of the unfortunate herbicide-resistant weed challenges we have across our field and getting out there now to start creating that weed management plan. Chad, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dusty.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, most crops and commodity reports month over month are showing a decline in drought coverage. In the latest USDA's drought monitor, USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
A vast improvement in the start of June U.S. drought monitor, both from the end of April,
showing just 29.6% of the country experiencing drought as of June 3rd, and that is down more than 7 percentage points from 37% back at the end of April.
And as USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey points out, improvement also from last fall.
That number on June 3rd, that marks the first time we have seen the country with less than 30% drought coverage since all the way back in early September of 2024. You have to go back one more week to August 27th, 2024 to actually find a lower drought coverage than what we saw this week.
Improvement in nationwide drought coverage comes from increasing precipitation across much of the country the past month as La Nina no longer is a weather factor. How does the shrinking drought coverage pertain to some of the nation's crops?
Mostly good news as we get a little deeper into the 2025 growing season.
Rippey starts with corn and soybeans in drought for the start of June.
Corn and soybeans in drought, those numbers are much better than what we've been seeing prior to planting. And as we get into the growing season here,
cotton area is also in low drought coverage. A big month-over-month decrease, according to Rippey.
In terms of our spring wheat crop, we had some disappointingly low conditions as we started the 2025 growing season there. But hopefully, again, there we'll be able to take advantage of some of the improved moisture in the last couple of weeks.
Winter wheat in drought has been halved from the previous month. Also,
end of April, spring wheat production area in drought for the U.S., 37%. That has been basically halved to 19% on June 3rd, as we have seen some much-needed moisture in some of those northern spring wheat areas.
As for hay and cattle in drought for the period ending June 3rd,
U.S. hay production area in drought, just 19%. That is down from 28% at the end of April. U.S. cattle inventory in drought, just 21% in drought on June 3rd. That is down from 31% on April 29th.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.